Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night, coming to you from the city of New Orleans, Louisiana, from the city of New Orleans. As always, it's an honor and a privilege that God has allowed us to assemble ourselves together to expound on His Word. I always give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule week after week as we come together in fellowship as the body of Christ, being partakers of the household of faith. It's a beautiful thing that God has given us, and it's our responsibility to take full advantage of what He has given us. Tonight, our lesson is going to come from the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in the second chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 1 through 10. The title of our lesson tonight is God Loves Us in Spite of, say that again. God loves us in spite of who we are. You might ask the question why. I come to tell you tonight because of who He is. God loves us. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. I think this song is so fitting for our lesson tonight. Hear the words that are sung in the song. Be prayerful for our Bible study tonight. And allow God to use what He's given you to penetrate your heart, your body, your soul, and your mind. That we will no longer be kept. We will no longer be just hearers of the word, but by His grace become doers of the word. The name of the song is Justified.
What He won't let you fall. Let you fall to the end of the
All of us could say who we are, who we have become, where we came from, and where we're going. We all have to realize that God did it. God decided that he loved us enough to take care of our enemies who we couldn't take care of. God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for. God did it. He allowed his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us, to dwell, to lead and guide and direct us and help us and speak to us and comfort us. God did it all by his grace, all things through Christ Jesus. God did it, y'all. And he asked for our obedience. because our obedience is a form that gives him glory, honor, and praise. All that God has done for us, we should ask ourselves, what can we do for God? And God don't leave no guessing in the game, because he gave us 66 books called the Holy Bible. And in the Bible, they give us strict instructions for how to live a godly life, how to live a righteous life, what we should do and shouldn't do, and what pleases him, and most of all, how we treat one another. God did it. God has done his part. Now it's up to us to do our part. And we've taken time and have become committed to study his word so we could grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, in our Christian walk. We're trying to let our light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Good works glorify God. And as we walk and live and be in this world, we should become a light in a dark place, surrounded by evil and darkness. But the songwriter said, and the scripture's going to tell us tonight, it's not predicated on us, but it's predicated on him. And God has given everything necessary for us to live the righteous life that he asks of us. Remember that. All of it is because God did it, not we ourselves. And at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open, and you could bring us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I pray that everyone is well on tonight. Thank you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you gracefully for our Bible study. Thank you for our sister, our teacher, our prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Keep her, Lord, in your perfect peace. Thanking you, Lord, in advance for the word that's being brought forth on tonight. I pray we all leave tonight with a thought of Jesus on our mind and a song in our heart. Thanking you, Lord, for protecting us throughout this day. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow has not yet arrived. Today is now. Let us be joyful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And as always, I have to say thank you, my sister. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Your faithfulness. I pray that God blesses you real good.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for Bible study, you guys. I pray that you had time to read the posted scriptures in the posted chapter. And if you didn't, I would appreciate if you get your Bible and follow along with us in the Word of God. Because so many times people, they go to church and they go to Bible study to hear a word about God. But God uses us, his instruments, his ambassadors here on earth, to give the word with the Holy Spirit, giving illumination and revelation of the truth of God. But we all have to do our part. Many times people teach, and sometimes it's not lining up with the word of God. Or they'll say things that's not in the Bible. But it's your responsibility, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, that we should study to show ourselves approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the truth. So I pray that you have your Bible. And as always, I'm going to do a little intro. And tonight, again, since other callers has called in, we're coming from the book of Ephesians. That's in the New Testament. And we're going to go in the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the title of our lesson is God Loves Us in Spite of Who We Are. Do you believe it? And I'm going to tell you how he could do it. Because of who he is. God cannot love us no more than he loves us now. And you might ask the question, because if we truthful to ourselves, we all know our shortcomings. We know the things that we do that we shouldn't do. Many times, some of the things that we do is hidden from the world and maybe your family and your friends. But if you be true to yourself, you know. But God can't love us no more than he loves us now. And, you know, why does God love us? This short question is among the most profound questions ever asked. And no human could ever be able to answer it sufficiently. One thing is certain, God does love us because he is love and not because we are adorable or obedient or forgiving and kind or because we deserve his love. If anything, the opposite is true. We are so hard on ourselves, and we can never enter total rest in God because we don't truly understand the love of God. God loves you when you study more, if you study less. God loves you when you give little or you give much. You have to remember that all of these things are for you, and no matter what you, how much you read, how much you give, you can't make God be more God. God is complete, and he don't need to change. But it's for you. Nothing you can do can make God be a greater God because you read, or study, or give, or love, or share, or care. You see, even though God is love, he also gives judgment. He issued his wrath. Y'all know what happened to the children of Israel, how many times God let someone come and overtake them because of their disobedience. God said he cannot overlook sin. God is a jealous God, the scripture tells us. And he does anger. And he will exhibit fury. And yes, he's still total love. You see, remember the children of Israel, as I said earlier. God loved them when they were obedient or disobedient. See, God already have consequences in place for that. All of the sins we commit, there's consequences attached. And that's what God has designed to take care of our shortcomings. But he still loves us. You see, the consequences of the children of Israel's sin, it changed their circumstances. They had to wait longer. They had to work harder. They had to be under subjection and things like that. The consequences. God did allow consequences to come upon them, but not his love for them. God also told us in Romans 8:1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the but after the Spirit. You see, your salvation is secured. The Holy Ghost has sealed you when you accept it, and he's living inside of you because Jesus died for you. That in itself should be enough to give you rest and peace, but it's not always the case. You see, God loves us because he's our Father and we are his children. We became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. And God has and always loves us in spite of and not because of. That's a little intro tonight about the love of God. And we're going to go ahead into the scriptures. And I'm going to start reading that verse 1. And it says, now you have he quickened. Quicken, that word in the Bible, quicken means to be brought alive. You see, before Jesus came and died for our sin, we were dead men walking. We were all destined to enter up into hell and to enter into hell and damnation. But it says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein too in time past you walked in the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is letting us know before we accepted Christ, we were like we were unsaved, and we act like the unsaved people. But he said, you've been quickened, and you walked by the rules of the world, and you were being led by Satan as unsaved, disobedient children. But now that you accepted God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your life, you are quickened, and Jesus Christ has guaranteed us a new life. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The people that we're trying to get saved, we was just like them. The things they are doing, that's some of the things we used to do, if we want to be truthful. But after you met Jesus, your life has changed. And it should be evident. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Now this is the part on verse 5. I want you to underline it. I want you to highlight it. I want you to remember it. It said, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. And the scriptures say, by grace we are saved. Even when we was in our sin, this lets us know we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And when God chose us, we couldn't say, oh, because we was reading, we was in a church, and we was paying tithes. We can't say none of that. Because when we were in sin, Jesus came and took us in. That's powerful, y'all. And has raised, verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places with Jesus. Jesus took us out the miry clay. He took us out the gutter. He delivered us from different things in our lives. He gave us a new direction. He gave us a new name. He gave us hope. While we were sinning, he came and knocked on the doors of our heart. That's love, y'all. That's love. You see, these verses focus on God, his mercy and grace, and making provisions for man's salvation in Christ. We see the word in this scripture, but God. This is a beacon of life and hope in any sea of despair you may be going through, my sisters and brothers. See, no matter what man or Satan has to say, we can always say, but God. I don't know what you're going through tonight, my sisters and brothers, and it may not look good. It may not have a beacon of light, but if you sit back and hold on and say, but God, I guarantee you everything will be all right. Say, but God, and just believe the report of the Lord while holding on to the confession of your faith. You're going to make it. You see, I could imagine faithful people of God sometime in their lives could only say, but God. You see, when Moses was at the Red Sea and there was nowhere to run or hide, the enemy was approaching and the people were complaining. I believe that was a but God moment. And God delivered them. He allowed the sea to part and them to walk through on dry land. But God. You see, when Daniel was in the lion's den, I could only believe that it was a but God moment for him as well. Daniel walked in and entered rest and laid down with the lion until morning. But God, you see, Joseph, after being sold into slavery by his brother, and in the end he was able to tell them what y'all set up for the bad, God turned it around for the good. But God, I'm sure all of us has had many but God experiences in our lives, and God has many more in store for you. It ain't over, y'all. God never promised us a rose garden. And in the book of James, James tells us when we fall into diverse temptation, he didn't say if. So if something haven't come against you thus far, all I want you to know is keep living, because it would, because that's the world we live in, and God promised there will be days like this. Hallelujah. You see, God operates in our lives by working things out together for our good. Because why would he say, I'm going to work things out together for your good if we wouldn't have bad times? If you didn't have bad times, how would you know what would be a good time? And if God rescued you instantly out of every trial, tribulation, adversity, then you'll be looking to him for just that. Come on, y'all. You see, the word of God lets us know that your tomorrow will be greater than your future. And your future is greater than your past. And I pray to God that this year will be much greater than last year for each and every one of us. Remember Job and trust God. Job was the one that said your latter will be much greater than your former days. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, y'all? You see, the condition, hallelujah, the condition of man in sin is not hopeless or terminal, because God, who loves us, has come to rescue us through his provisions of mercy, which is holding back the punishment we deserve, and his provision of grace, giving us all things that we do not deserve. How could you lose with the plan of God? And that's the way he planned it. You see, when we were dead in sin, I went to 1 Corinthians 15:45, and it says, and so it is written. You see, the first man, Adam, who was made a living soul, the last Adam, Christ, was made a quickening spirit. What God has done for us by grace, even while we were dead in the sin, he quickened us together with Christ. You see, in the grace they talk about, grace is all of God's riches at Christ's expense. Hallelujah, y'all. But we got to believe it to be able to achieve it. And in that scripture, it lets us know, sometime you may read your Bible and they call Jesus the second Adam. That's what this saying. Adam was the first, and Jesus is known as the second Adam. Hallelujah. The Bible says, by one man sin, Adam, all was destined to die. But by grace, one man sacrificed, Jesus Christ, is given an opportunity for all men to live. Hallelujah. Adam put us in bondage, and Jesus redeemed us by his blood. In verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the excellent riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ, Jesus Christ. They're telling us in ages to come, tomorrow, next year, the year after that, ages to come, he might show the excellent riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. saying God is not through with us yet, y'all. And y'all haven't seen all that God is going to do for us. You got to trust him and follow him and wait on him. Hallelujah. And while you're waiting and giving the glory and the honor that he deserves. And verse 8 says, for by grace we were saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift of God, y'all. Ever get it twisted. You didn't save yourself. You didn't make yourself. You're not sustaining yourself. Hallelujah. I heard a lot of people say it many times, and people are still saying it. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. No one made themselves. But the scripture said, by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. God said he made this master plan, and he was going to be our redeemer. He was going to be the one to set us free, because first of all, we couldn't do it. But he don't want to get it twisted by allowing you to maybe give a donation to the little orphan children and get the big aid that you all of this and all of that. That's why he tell us it's by grace and grace alone, not by works, should any man boast. If you're going to boast about anything, boast about what Jesus has done for us. Boast about the goodness of God and the love of God for allowing his son to come and die for us. You see, these verses focus on the purpose of salvation, which we obtain through Jesus Christ, not anything we ourselves could do or should do or didn't do. You see, altogether, they spell out the essence of the gospel. That is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God's love towards us. This scripture is letting us know that the best is yet to come. Because, see, Jesus said, well, Paul said, in ages to come, he might show the excellent riches of his grace. Grace is rich and powerful and loving and kind. It has no respect to person. And God has given us this grace. He said in ages to come in the scripture that we could show, he might show the excellent riches of his grace. Wait on it, y'all. It spells out, that scripture spells out the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God's love towards us. You see, this scripture is letting us know the best is yet to come. Because in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 it says, but it is written, eyes have not seen, nor is heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God got a lot prepared for you guys, y'all. You got to just get yourself in position and walk in it. You got to just trust him totally and walk in everything he has prepared for those who love him. We have hope, y'all. And because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know in the end we win. And we all should wake up each morning with a spirit of expectation. We can rely on another scripture that Paul wrote in Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. And it says, being confident. Are you confident this evening, my sisters and brothers? What God said. Being confident in the very thing that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about what God has started. We don't have to worry about God changing a plan of salvation. We don't have to worry about God changing an agenda or adding some other parts to what he has already said. But be confident, whatever God has begun in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you see, they put to the day of Jesus Christ because one come and take us back with him, there will be no sin. Sin will no longer be present. We're going to take off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. But until that day, sin is present. Evil is prevailing. Satan has limited powers. And we have to do the best that we can and press towards the mark of the prize for the hard calling, which is Christ Jesus, in our walk with God. But we should be confident that God is willing and able to accomplish the work that he begun in each and every one of us. You see, we became Christians through God's unmerited grace, not as a result of our efforts, intelligence, ability, choices, or act of service on our part. Remember, y'all, it is a God thing, not a man thing. Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. God gave the grace, and no man should boast. And God designed it that way. So no one could get the big head concerning salvation. All you could do is look to God and thank him for what he has done and we never could do. Remember that, not anything we could do could have secured our salvation. I said anything. So any thought you have in your head right now, you could just throw it in the sea of forgiveness because it will not hold up. There was nothing you could do to save yourself, because if there was something, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. We'd have all had to figure out that something. But there's not a something. No one could do what Jesus did. We have to remember, not what we did or could do, but what Jesus has already done. I want you to remember tonight, y'all, that God loves us in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. And it's all about his grace. All things through Christ Jesus, that we are who we are. And if we look at verse 10, the scripture tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. So you might say, Sister Diane, what you mean is workmanship? You know, an artist, a person that do things, they create their work and it becomes their masterpieces. And he's saying we are his workmen created in Christ unto good work. See, God knew that we would have to live on this earth but not be of this earth. And God gave us a spiritual, moral kingdom here on earth that we believers could walk and operate in. And we took on the ambassadorship of Jesus when Jesus went back, ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of his Father. We became the ambassadors unto good work. You see, in the old days, God dwelt among his people. Yeah, he turned Jesus turned water into wine, and God let the bread come from heaven. Come on, y'all. And he gave them water out of rock. See, God was doing it. But he then gave us his spirit. He said, now is your time to do the work towards one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what the scripture is saying. We are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. That's the way God created us. He created us for work, but it's so beautiful that he gave us a provision to be able to accomplish the work that he had set before us. He gave us talents. He gave us gifts. He gave us resources. He gave us abilities. Come on, y'all. He gave us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and truth. God equipped us for the work. He didn't save us and say, figure out. He equipped us. He's equipping us and sanctifying us daily for the work. You see, we must focus our eyes on what Jesus has done, is doing, and promised to do, and take our eyes off ourselves. Some people believe that they have already arrived, that they're so holy, they don't know what to do with themselves. But somewhere I heard that they're so spiritual that they're no longer earthly good. And then sometime I hear people say they don't sin, and the Bible says if you say you don't sin, you're fooling yourself. And then I see some that believe that what they do is so great that they may be greater than others. But all of us is just a vessel made of clay, fallible, weak, and easily broken. And it is not about the vessel, but the treasure inside the vessel, should any man boast. You see, that's a scripture when I talk about God gave us the provisions in Ephesians 2 and 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you. Watch this. It is God, Philippians 2 and 13, if someone's writing down. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do his pleasure. God is working in us, arranging and rearranging us for his service and his pleasure. But you got to let him have his way. And you have to submit and commit to his will and his way. And when the Holy Spirit is asking you to go, to go. And when he's asking you to stop, stop. And when he's asking you to let it go, let it go. You see, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpieces. We are unique, one-of-a-kind work of art. We were all a part of his master plan before the foundation of the world. We often say what God has for us is for us, and that is so true. But I come to tell you tonight, the work that God has for you to do is for you to do as well. And you could take inventory on it yourself, which we should often do, and evaluate what we're doing with our time, our energy, our resources, and even our gifts. We have been morally created by Christ Jesus for good work. That's the way God created us, y'all. Since the Christian has been given spiritual life for the purpose of doing good work, there would be no good work by him or us before our conversion. Nothing that would merit salvation. You see, we are not working to be saved, but because we have received the eternal free gift of grace through faith, we should work. And this is something we could think about. Why would you continue to do the things that you used to do before you were saved? Why? Just because you have obtained grace? Some people say, I'm saved, I'm sealed, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and live their life the way they want. But I can come to tell you, that would be trying to take advantage of God's grace, and you don't want to do your part. But the Bible says, God forbid. That's not the plan. The grace should be producing love and giving you the desire to want to change, not to remain the same. You see, the old things that you were ashamed of that you did in your old life, why would you continue to do them in your new life? Why? We should do good works, but it is the duty of man. And in the Bible it says, our reasonable service, to make us ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And I'm going to leave you with this tonight. Good works follow, but it do not precede salvation. It follows it. Before we receive salvation, there was no good work. But once we were saved, there should be good work. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you will serve, God or mammon. God asks us to stop straddling the fence. He also encourages us to choose this day who we will serve. And he asks us to stop mixing, trying to take and make a gumbo using the flesh and the spirit. Stop trying to mix the flesh with the spirit. He said this, and he just wants us to do the best that we can. Because the scriptures say, once you have done all that you can do, stand and see the salvation of the Lord working in and through your life. And that's the lesson for tonight. Glory, hallelujah. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you can speak them at this time. Anything anyone would like to say at this time? I left a little time before the hour would end. If anyone would like to say anything, you can at this time. Any questions? Anybody would like to speak about what God has done in their lives? Anybody have a testimony? Anybody just want to say God is good and he's good all the time? If no one has anything to say, Sister Pam, your mic is open and you can lead us out with a benediction tonight. I just want everybody to know that God loves us in spite of and not because of. And we all have a responsibility to do good work. Sister Pam, wait a minute. I have somebody would like to speak. Caller, your number is 504-615.
Hey, Sister Diane, how you doing, darling?
I'm fine, my brother.
Hey, hi, blessings. I was trying to get on earlier, but I was supposed to be on a Zoom call, and I kind of got in on a tail end. I didn't really catch, you know, the gist of your teaching, but when you say just, you know, talk about the goodness of God and all that stuff, I could do it. I was hoping someone would have chimed in before me and gave me a little bit of a clue what you had taught on tonight. But I think that what you was talking about, great works, you know, and I think we as people, we've been beat down so much that we don't get what it means when it say great works have I done, yet greater works have you to do. And you can't do that work if you haven't been given what you need and you're not equipped. And so, you know, people say, oh, I can't. We're not supposed to be, I can't. If it says I can do all things through Christ, what is Christ? Christ is not really a person. Christ is the anointing. So I could do all things, the same. I could do all things through God because God strengthens me. But then we say that, right? Nice scripture. And then we say, but. Then we say, but. But then after we but three times, then it's not all things no more. And so we discredit that God credited us with. And you know, in John 1 and 12, you know, that's where he says, you know, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And in John 14, you know, in 12, that's where he says, great works have I done, yet greater works have you to do. And in 19, he talks about the whole being anointed by the Holy Spirit. Well, he said, I and the Father one, I'm in the Father me, so am I in you. Relationship, connections, saying that God is not outside of you. And the 23rd verse of that says, and I mean the Father make out bold with you, so God is never away from you after you get the anointing, the grace. Cause, and 16 is saying the comforter job is to comfort, to teach, and to keep in remembrance of all that was taught. And so when we embrace that, then we embrace the fullness of the power that's been granted to us from on high. And this is what we see in Acts 2, you know, when we talk about the Spirit fell on the room. The Spirit didn't fall on special individuals. The Spirit fell on individuals that was readily prepared to go out and do the works. So the Spirit didn't just fall on the 12. The Spirit fell on the 120, but they had about 200 in the room. But that don't say that those other 80 didn't get it sometime down the line. So I think that, like, in your teaching, you're always teaching, but you teach about the power and the strength of God, but you have to see, now I'm not saying you don't do this, but the people have to see the power and strength that God has instilled in them. Because the last thing I'm gonna say, in Mark 9:35-ish, he talks about, he said, this is my son, hear him. So then he said, hear him, but then he said, go ye therefore and proclaim the good news. What's the good news? The gospel. What's the gospel? That you have been delivered from that have held you back. And so once we begin to look at ourselves from a spiritual perspective and not a flesh perspective, then we operate in our God self, because that's what God did. God, you know, so when we talk about the image and likeness of God, we have to know what all that means. And so again, sister, I just want to say thank you to you from being a frontline soldier for all this time, but awakening souls to that they had been made ready for. But society tell us that we can't do, but God said we can do. Lastly, and I do close here, I was watching a program one day, and a 16-year-old girl, her daddy was working on a car, and the car fell on her daddy, the jack slipped. That girl ran over to that car and picked that car up. Now, if she was operating in the I can't do, that car would have stayed on top of her daddy, but she set all the I can'ts aside, and she picked that car up, because she was operating not in the flesh, but in the spirit. In the spirit, we have unlimited power, and we've been granted unlimited power from on high. God bless you, my sister. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I yield. Peace and blessings.
Thank you, my brother. And the part you heard evidently was enough, because you have just summarized the lesson. You see, one of the scriptures was talking about how God has made us, has quickened us while we were in our sins. And we talked about tonight that it is God that worketh in us the will and to do his good pleasure. See, God is equipping us with talents, gifts, and resources to do the work as he created us to be his workmanship. And we also, one of the things I talked about in Philippians 2 and 13, which was the scriptures, backing up the scriptures, because we was in Ephesians, second chapter 1 through 10, you know, and the scripture talks about Adam being first Adam, was made a living soul, and Jesus became a quickening spirit. And the lesson tonight was God loves us in spite of who we are because of who he is. So you was right in the same place. See, the word of God is a 360. We have to remember that we invited the Holy Spirit in all the time in the lessons, and the Holy Spirit is able to get across what he wanna through willing vessels. And I thank you for your expounding on the word. You was right where we were, and everything I said, what you said in the scriptures you give, could be added unto that to get us to the next level in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, my brother.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Caller, your number is 918-902. Your mic is now open.
Hello.
Hello, my darling.
No, I'm a man.
Hello, I'm sorry. But you're still my darling.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Brother Butler. I'm Sarita Hudson. And, you know, God is just not great. God is wonderful. And he worked miracles around the clock. And the way he grabbed hold of me and led me straight than a boring arrow. And I thank him each and every moment I can, day, night, afternoon. I pray for everyone, even the people that I don't even know. And I never did that before because I was self-stubborn and I was just toe up out there in that world. And he just made me, just guided me straight. And I thank him each and every moment I can. And I love listening to the radio station with my wife. I could be in the back room, sound asleep. And I just wake up and find myself in the living room right by her.
Praise
God. And I love
to
hear the comments. I love to hear you speak. And you just do a wonderful job. And I'm just going straight as arrow, and not no turning back. And I try to get my brothers to turn their life around, and only thing I can do is just keep them in prayer. And hopefully they'll get grabbed the way I get grabbed. But you've got to listen, understand, and obey the Lord. And I thank you for a wonderful speech you give each and every time. And I just love you. And I really, really love the Lord. Amen.
Amen. I got your voice now, and I know who you are.
Yes, ma'am. I know who you are.
And I thank you for taking time to make a comment on the program. You know, we've been doing this for a long time, and some people have been with me from the beginning. It was in 2012, and they still faithful, and some of them I haven't even heard their voice. I'm not saying anything
Amen.
Wrong with that, but I appreciate you coming on and
yeah.
making a comment, and I got your voice. And now I can
I'm
put a
babe.
Voice with the number.
I'm a babe with you, but I'm going to turn out to be a giant in the long run. And I say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my brother. And you say you love me, and I love you too, and your wife. And your whole family that I don't even know. When we go to God's
yes.
throne and grace is for everyone, those we know and those we don't know. So we're going to keep praying for you, and we ask that you pray for us in the mighty name
also,
of Jesus.
Amen. And also, you know, I just lost a sister last week in Los Angeles, and to have her rest in peace on the 27th. Yeah, I'm just going through some things, you know. I haven't spoke to her in years. After my mother and father passed, he sold all the homes and was just trying to put us in the street. But I looked up and said, Lord, I forgive her. And I know you forgive her. And I love her. And I'm going to continue on loving her. And right before she passed, he just happened to call me. And at first I wasn't going to get on the phone. My wife said, get on the phone, get on the phone. And she just broke down and said, I apologize for the things that I did. I said, well, I forgave you. I've been and forgave you. I never stopped loving you. And next couple of weeks, she made God make peace with the Lord, and she just gone to a better place. That's what I'm telling my nieces and nephews, trying to keep them straight. And they'd be arguing and fussing those fundamental things, but I said, hey, she left y'all here to live your life with my great nieces and nephews. So y'all should look at that and just say thank you, Mama. And I hope she have a nice turnout. Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue to pray for you and your family. And Sister Pam going to lift you up before we get off tonight. But I thank you for those words. And it touched me because my prayer that I'm doing so much because I see so many broken relationships, even in the body of Christ. And God made sure that we understood the word of forgiveness because Jesus gave his life. He forgave us by giving his life and that we should be able to forgive one another. So, Brother God, fix it where y'all connected, and God did that for you, that there could be peace. And we're going to lift you guys up in prayer. Tell the lady, yes. Sister Pam is going to ask you your name. You could say it now. So she
Sister
could,
Pam know me like a brother. Oh, that's not the Pam. Oh, excuse me. My name is Calvin Butler.
Wait, you say Calvin?
Yes, C-A-L-V-I-N, Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R.
All right, Brother Calvin Butler, I got you now. But she's going to lift you up before we get off tonight. And thank you so much again, and be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Caller, your number is 504-715. I think this minister, Elyria Mackey, from Boothville, Louisiana. Your mic is open.
God bless you. I was going to sing because of who you are. So when Brother Butler began to talk about him loving Jesus, my whole song switched. If you just allow me one more time to tell you that Jesus is a friend of mine. Each day I press my way so that I won't go astray. But the Lord would guide me each step of the way. I love Jesus more today than all I did on yesterday. He woke me up early this morning, started me on my way. I love Jesus. I love him more and more each day. If you just allow me one more time to tell you that Jesus, he's a friend of mine. Day I test my way so that I won't go astray, but that the Lord will guide me each step of the way. Cause I love Jesus more today, yes, oh God, than I did on yesterday. He woke me up early this morning and started me on my way.
I love him more and more each day. Yes, I do.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Minister Elyria Mackey, for using your gift for God. Hallelujah. With the scripture that we had tonight, say we were created for his workmanship. Come on, y'all. Unique and a piece of art. Everybody, we were created for good words. Sister Pam, your mic is open. We're asking for a closing prayer along with a benediction, and that we're going to remember our brother who has asked for prayer. Sister Pam,
yes,
your mic is open.
Lord, we come on tonight to lift up Calvin and his entire family, Lord Jesus. They are your creative vessels. Lord, I ask you that you comfort them at their time of bereavement. Lord, please put your arms around the entire family. Give them the comfort that they may need that comes from up above. Lord, I ask you to just keep them covered under your precious blood. Give them the strength, the understanding, and the comfort that they may need at this time of sorrow. Lord, I ask you just to touch, heal, deliver, and set free. And it's in your sweet son Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight, benediction will be coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And that's our study for tonight. And I just want to tell each and every one of you, thank you. And how much God loves you. And I love each and every one of you as well. And I'll be back. We'll be back on next Wednesday if God say the same. If it's his will and his way, we'll be back again. And I'm asking all of y'all to be prayerful and ask the Holy Ghost to give me scriptures and topics and songs that we can use for our Bible study. I never professed to any one of you that I was the smartest person. I knew everything. I'm like everybody else. I'm under construction, and I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize for the high call. And God has given this to all of us. He didn't give it to Diane Adams. He gave it to all of us to use, that we could be prepared as we are being prepared for the prepared place that Jesus prepared for us. And we are being prepared for kingdom building here on earth. So with that being said, be prayerful one for another. Be prayerful for our Bible study. And may the love of God be with each and every one of us and bless us real good. Good night, everybody. Be blessed.